It's 3 years this week since this Radio 1 farewell.
I will continue to do what I do on Radio 2, and I've just had the best time, Annie. Thanks for coming and hanging out this morning. We've got two more tracks, and then I'm going to do a little sort of thank you thing on the other side of this next track, which is basically, it's quite a big list. it's a bit like sort of staff bingo. So people are going to be listening. If I've missed anybody off, I've just got to say now, I'm really sorry and I love you, but they're bound to have missed something. They'll be listening in the office going, my name's Sue. Is she doing alphabetically?
And so she did deliver that list. It was a very long list, including...
Claire on reception, Andy Parfitt for taking me on in the first place.
Yeah. Don't you just love the way the receptionist comes before Andy Parfitt? And what about Ben?
And to Ben Cooper, our boss here, who, when he started, he was like this young, sort of hungry exec type, and I was a nightmare breakfast horse. And over the years, we've got a lot closer, and my move to Radio 2 wouldn't be happening without his incredible support over the last couple of years especially. He's been an amazing boss.
Bolton's Sarah Cox, leaving Radio 1 for Radio 2 this week in 2013, after nearly 15 years. This week, 92 years ago, this sound hit the air regularly. Yes, Big Ben began its daily broadcast on radio this week in 1924, but its debut had been on the previous New Year's Eve.
We had taken a microphone down to Westminster. We clambered with the clumsy instrument onto a house roof, across the road from the Houses of Parliament, because we hadn't permission then to go inside. Our microphone picked up a good deal of traffic noise, but it got the midnight chime good and hearty. Thus we started what has proved the most famous feature of the BBC programmes, those chimes that link Britishers together the world over.
Valentine's Day is a pretty good day to launch, not least when you're the last national commercial radio station.
It is talk radio in a much more provocative and stimulating and entertaining and accessible way. It's a challenge in that my colleagues and I have really got to set about with a blank piece of paper and prove to people how stimulating, how provocative, how entertaining, how informative radio can, not only can be, but should be.
Hopes from the launch of Talk Radio UK this week in 95. It broadcast on the old Radio 1 medium wave frequency. So did that early approach work?
I think the original founders of Talk Radio thought an American style of speech radio would work in the UK, and it actually didn't. And the reason is we're different in the UK and we want different sorts of radio. Fortunately, we realised that pretty quickly and changed the style of Talk Radio so it became an informed, intelligent, interactive debate.
Paul Robinson, a later MD of Talk Radio, now Talk Sport. One new talk talent debuted this week in 1922 when the first British entertainment station came on air. It was broadcasting from an ex-army hut next to the Marconi Labs at Rittle near Chelmsford.
Look, how are you tonight? I'm afraid there's a bit of rather serious things have happened this evening. We did expect to get some rather famous singer, but she failed. Singers failed, you know. They do. And we've got tonight a number of gramophone records, as usual.
That chap's name was Peter Eckersley. He was on air this week in 1922 from 2MT. And Peter later became the BBC's first chief engineer, but then he fell out with John Reith. And as you listen to that, you can quite imagine the two not getting on.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely. This week, 48 years ago, BBC local radio arrived on the South Coast. Ted Castle was in charge of engineering. He was the chap they said had pioneered the radio car.
The most important thing, I think, from our point of view, was the fact that we had to build the stations ourselves. The BBC, in fact, sent us a kit of parts, if you like, to build a radio station. And this arrived in a Pantechnicon on November the 14th, 1967. At that time, I was just installing the VHF transmitter. I was keeping an eye on electricians and painters and builders and telephone people, all sorts of people in the actual building here. And on January the 1st, I was able to hand it over to the programme people to say, there it is. You know, you can play with it and get used to the feel of the controls and so on.
I love the way the engineers always say, we play with equipment. BBC Radio Brighton launching this week in 1968. One of the first rules in radio is to make sure the right faders are up and the wrong ones are down. BBC CWR realised it wasn't good to have the next studio fader up during a news bulletin.
Oscar Pistorius has pleaded not guilty to the murder of his girlfriend on the first day of his trial in South Africa. He admits shooting Reva Steenkamp on Valentine's Day last year, but says he mistook her for an intruder. One of the witnesses, Pistorius...
And this week, 4 years ago, a fader was left open at Jazz FM. Jazz FM, this week in 2012. 1974 now, and in those dark days of recession, commercial radio arrived in Birmingham.
It's 6 o'clock. Good morning. This is Brian Shepherd with BRMB Sound News. A strike by building workers has stopped work at several oil rig construction sites in the northeast. The 24-hour strike...
Radio stations are rather like restaurants. If you go to a restaurant and you have a bad time, bad meal or bad service, you never go back because there are plenty of other restaurants down the street. And I think radio stations in many ways are rather like that. There's plenty of other radio stations down the street, if you like, down the dial. And so you probably only have one chance to get it right.
The wisdom of John Russell, launch PD of BRMB in Birmingham, on air this week in 1974, the first commercial radio station in England outside London.
BRMB time, 7 minutes past six.
One of my old colleagues used to work on Radio 1 on a kids' request show at the weekend. And in those early days of interactivity, listeners were invited to send in messages for broadcast, and they came in on bits of reel-to-reel tape, sometimes wrapped around a pencil. The programme was called Junior Choice, and this week in 1970, Ed Stewart took over.
So Susan Hubbard, many happy turns, and I'd just like a friend of mine to come sing happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Squash tomatoes and stew. Bread and burger in a gutter. Happy birthday to you.
And Susie, wake up.
Hello, darling.
Ed Stewart taking over Junior Choice this week, 46 years ago. So with Kiss 105 launching in Yorkshire 19 years ago.
Kiss 105. Music is life.
How old are those Kiss clubbers now? Mark and Lard, beginning 8 months on Radio 1 Breakfast 19 years ago.
Always said we always have guests on when we want someone, don't
Absolutely.
We? Never made it the basis of this programme that, you know, you're like desperate for guests, so you have someone you're not that fussed about.
Best not bother.
And radio arriving in Wales this week, 93 years ago.
This is 5WA calling.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio Moments.